ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy President's Day. As an elderly shut-in cable news geek, today is the greatest day of my life. Why, Chris?
Because the Chris Matthews Bill Clinton special is on tonight.
Yes, the one I can do the whole promo by memory if you like.
You're like a one-man Peace Corps.
Kevin Spacey going peacemaker. I can do the whole thing from memory.
It's a good promo.
And Chris Matthews is on the phone.
Holy cow.
It's the greatest day of my life. Good morning, Chris Matthews.
No, I think the greatest day of my life is when your sister came to Holy Cross back in 64.
Now, is this
Libby? We all got excited because we hadn't seen good-looking Catholic girls like that on campus during the week before. And we said, Libby Miller, why, God, we didn't know who the dad was till the American Express ad, but we thought she was cool. So are you as cool as Libby? That's what I wanted to know.
Libby and Mary, my sisters combined.
Right. Well, we remember these things. By the way, it just showed how the Catholics got accepted because Jack Kennedy, his religion was a big deal in 60, but by 64. But nobody noticed that Bill Miller also was a Catholic.
That's
never
right.
Came up. Isn't it amazing how we changed?
That's right. We got drowned in the Kennedy Catholic.
Let's talk about the issues between 60 and 64.
Yes. We got drowned in the Kennedy Catholic tsunami, unfortunately.
I know. Well, now, Bill Miller was a great man, and I thought he was the chairman of the Republican Party in New York State. And for some strange reason, Barry thought he would bounce out that ticket neatly and deliver New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey,
That proved to be a slight miscalculation, Chris Matthews.
Now, with the Deep South and Arizona. That's right.
Yeah.
But 26 now, million votes. 26 million votes. A lot of people voted for Barry Goldwater.
You are such a political savant. I love you. Now,
not an idiot savant, I hope.
No, not at all.
You just know everything.
Part, yeah.
Now, you know, it's an interesting time for you and I to talk. Not only, I mean, there is an interesting sort of, you have such a unique view on history. And the fact that you're doing a special on Bill Clinton today, where we have maybe another government shutdown looming, just like when Bill Clinton was president. I mean, there are so many issues.
You ever hear the word lead time?
Yeah, I know.
It took me months to make this.
I know
baby.
It.
I mean, I finally get it ready. They schedule it for President's Day because they thought that would be poetic.
Yeah.
But I've been working on it all through the fall. We were over in Northern Ireland. We went on all this stuff, the Clinton Global. We did all that work before. We edited it. We argued over it. I rewrote it a couple times. And now it's ready.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, you must be psychic because it's just a great time. And it looks, honestly, like a great special.
It's popcorn. And I modeled it after... I don't think you're old enough, but you might be. Your sister would be old enough. Bob Dylan, the doc was called Don't Look Back. It was Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. It was all about people moving around in a car with crowds chasing them. And I wanted to be kinetic like that, this wild chasing hour-long, nothing more than speed and like an ongoing commercial, a movie trailer. So it never stops. I didn't want them sitting in a room somewhere. And so I tried to model. I said, pushing the producers, move. I want to see Bill Clinton in Africa. I want to see him everywhere. And so you see this amazing splash of the world. It's a good chance to take a look at the world because it's Bill going everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask because I do know the promo by heart. What country was Kevin Spacey in when they were chanting peacemaker?
I think it was Ghana.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Ghana was the Grand Marché. It was in the big marketplace, and he was there with him, and he was actually there at the time. And I know the guy, I know Spacey, and he was giving me the full account.
Well, you know, I mean, Chris, you have such an interesting take. I mean, not only that you worked with Tip O'Neill, but I think that this last government shutdown, I mean, I just think that this is a new breed, isn't it? This Tea Party, these guys are not compromisers. And
I think you're dead right. I think, I've been through three of these things. Through history, 46, 80, and 94, the three times the Republicans have come into power since World War II. And they've come every time they're going after the unions. And this time, the one time it worked is when Reagan broke the PATCO strike because, A, they were wildcatting, they were breaking the law. Two, they had endorsed him in the election, so it wasn't a get-back. And three, it was the best way to demonstrate to the Soviet Union this guy was tough. And ironically, the people of the old communists over in the Kremlin said, hey, this guy's for real. And they told Duane Andrews that. He comes back and told Tip O'Neill that. And we got the word that they were the communists were looking at Tip and looking at Reagan in a totally different way they had the other politicians. And so I think that was an odd way of setting him up to be able to be the deal maker with Gorby. I mean, it's so interesting how these things are dynamic.
You know, since you know the history, you know how Sarah Palin and other Tea Party people are totally misconstruing Reagan's record in so many ways. I mean, they wouldn't have him in the Tea Party today. They wouldn't have him in the Republican
Party.
First
of all, he was a labor guy. He wasn't anti-union. Per se.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they were going to break the. I mean, I think the unions aren't great. They do things that are kind of clumsy, and they don't exactly think dynamically. So they some of the old, pretty damn old thinking. But I think when it comes to the question of do you have a right to negotiate your contract, people believe they do. And if they try to fight, the union says all we want is the right to survive. Now they're in the corner, and the governor says you're not going to get that. We're going to take away we're going to give you a copay on pension, a copay on medical, and by the way, you're out of business.
Yeah, I know because I just heard you cheating on me with Bill Press that you think Governor Walker has overreached, but I'm not sure.
I think it's a fight.
It's a fight, but Chris, I think you pointed out he has overreached in a couple of key ways, and I think number one, as you said, it's pretty clear. First of all, this is political because the unions that backed him are not included in this, which looks pretty craven.
Well, yeah. And by the way, in all fairness, the firefighters, I think, are the one Republican, the rank and file union. I think most firefighters are Republicans. That's sort of interesting. Maybe because they're Irish, I don't know.
Right. But all I'm saying is, and it also, I think, now that he is, a spotlight is being shown on this, you're seeing that it was his special session that, he gave away the money for $140 million that he now claims he has to make up on the back of the employees. So I think you're right. We got a real fight. But how does this play out? Because, as I said, this doesn't seem like the guys you and I are used to, where they used to make a deal.
The employees are going to be working there, and the employees are going to think about this, and they're going to have a lot of time to think about this, and it's all they're going to think about. And one thing is, when you go to work, you go against a bunch of labor people, you got to understand the first thing about it is that's you may be thinking about other things other times. This is all they're going to think about. So you're up against people whose entire lives depend on winning the fight. Their entire lives, when they go to work, when they go home, and they talk to their friends on weekends, when they're at the bar having a beer, when they get up for breakfast and stop by the diner, that's all they talk about.
But they've already said they want to.
They're going to fight, and they're going to remember this.
But they've already said they're willing to negotiate, Chris. Isn't that the key difference?
On the copays, yeah, but not on their existence.
Well, exactly. But that's what I'm saying is clearly Governor Walker is not, to take away, as you say, their ability to negotiate forever, I don't think that seems fair to anybody.
Somebody's got to realize how the box this damn thing came in. Whatever happened to Russ Feingold? Why did he get blown away by double digits? Why did Republicans get in Wisconsin win, sweep the legislature, sweep the governor's chair? What went wrong in the Democratic Party relationship with the people of Wisconsin before this last election? Elections have consequences. It isn't, oh, gee whiz, why they do this? It's because that's what they are. The Republicans, they're corporate power, and they have union buses, that's what they are. So don't say they've not changed. They just have power now. How'd they get all this power?
And
that's the question I have. Something happened in Wisconsin. Either the party fell down, the labor unions fell down. How come they didn't get – Feingold was a good guy. He's clean. Why did he get blown away?
Well, number one, let's look at – Citizens United, they spent $190 million compared to $94 million from liberals, so that didn't help. And obviously busting the unions forever is going to – 2012 would be a nightmare for Democrats.
And we got to watch Justice Thomas here. I'm watching him now, and I got to tell you – I know he went to Holy Cross, but when I found out that the Federalist Party, the Federalist Club or whatever it's called, Society, had paid for his trip out to Palm Springs to meet with the Koch brothers, and it turns out I don't think there was a meeting of the Federalist Society. There was a meeting of the Koch brothers. And they're the pass through operation, I think.
Well, and they're behind the Wisconsin effort to kill the unions. I mean, that's what I'm saying. These tentacles kind of go everywhere.
Well, I'm tired of these front groups, these neocon front groups, the American Enterprise Institute, all these groups. All they are is fronts for right wing people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have senior. Don't you love when somebody says they come on a television show? I'm a senior fellow at the American Enterprise. What is it, a college? You don't have to be a senior fellow. What do? You sit and write op-ed pieces all day that run in the paper because you have nothing else to do.
That's right.
Except write op-ed pieces. I'd be pretty good. So you had the whole week to write 1,000 words. A whole week to write 1,000 words, and somebody probably edited it for you, and then they flack it for you. And then you go on television and talk about your interesting article that ran today in the Washington Post. A senior fellow for the American Enterprise Institute or the Near East Institute or the Committee on the Present Danger. All these phony right-wing front groups right out of the Fountainhead. Did you read the Fountainhead?
Yep.
It's Ayn Rand. All these Ellsworth Tui front groups. And then they go on television and say, now who actually paid the money to the American Enterprise Institute, to the Committee on the Present Danger?
Yep.
Who are these people? You don't know.
Right.
It's all hooded.
let's talk about the obviously the other big battle is, you know, the budget in Washington. And, you know, I mean, it really the story that you, I know, have been watching is who's going to win this fight between the Tea Party and the Republican establishment?
Well, I think the I think that the two people here don't want to fight. The president really doesn't want to have a shutdown. John Boehner doesn't want to shut down. They don't believe it. They'd like to get in the back room and carve the middle here. And Schumer, no matter how tough he talks, like the New York cab driver, he'd like to get in the room and talk. And Durbin definitely would. They want to negotiate. The great thing about numbers is you can negotiate them. That's why union contracts can be negotiated. Numbers are great. You can say, all right, 7, 9, oh, how about 8? Okay, let's get to 8. And you can work it out. And I think that they want to work it out. Nobody wants to shut down the government because nobody wants to be at that mailbox when you're 78 years
Chris,
old
you make
and you
it,
walk up to the mailbox or you check your bank account and the electronic deposit wasn't made with your Social Security check.
But
nobody
made
wants
the,
to be
right.
there when that happens.
But Chris, you've made the great point that these guys are not like Tip O'Neill and Reagan when you guys were in there. And it's not like when my dad and Goldwater were in there. I mean, in the first place, why does John Boehner cry so much? I don't.
Well, he's good because he has to deal with the Tea Party.
I don't think
how
guys like my dad and Goldwater
would
recognize.
Remember those movies like The Last Mohicans with the French officers with their perfume and their nice costumes and their white shirts? And then they have the Iroquois allies, the crazy freaking allies, and they're out taking scalps. What happened at Fort William Henry? Nothing. What happened at Northway? We scalped them and killed them all. You know, and now you got your allies. So now you have the D Party people who are out taking scalps, and the French officers are going, yeah, well, they're our allies. We got to deal with them, you know.
Yep.
And we got to keep them happy. We got to keep them fed, you know.
Yep.
They like scalps. We like them, you know. We like to win.
Well, at least
the reason Boehner is speaker, he knows, is because these wild people got elected, and there he can't exactly go back and straight on them and say, thanks for nothing. He's got to say thank you so much for being one of my 218 votes so I can be the speaker.
Well, more entertainment.
Then, but I watched the guy cry almost. The poor guy looks like a regular guy to me, and he just looks like he's so close to the edge all the time.
Yeah. And more entertainment
Aykroyd,
for people like you and me.
Stan, don't you think Dan Aykroyd when you see him for some reason?
Yes.
Is this a skit?
Dan Aykroyd in this guy.
I know. President of the World, the Bill Clinton Phenomenon airs tonight. And, Chris, this is very key for my lifestyle because I get up very early. It airs at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, but is there an earlier airing?
Well, you're out there at 7.
Right? Yeah. Oh, 7. Yay! Okay, it airs at 7 and
what
10.
What am I, Euclid? Did you need help to get from 10 to 7?
No. Well, I didn't know if it only aired 10 o'clock, but both coasts.
No, that's called 7 o'clock West Coast.
Yes. Okay, all right.
And
well,
by the way, it's nice to talk to you. I love your family, your great people, your RCs, and moderate Republicans from the East Coast in the old days. And now
you're
progressive.
We have splintered in our family. You know, the sisters and I are big Obama supporters. Mom and brother still very Republicans.
Talk about my family. I have four brothers. I have one brother who's a windsock. He's a business guy. If I know how he's going to vote, I can tell you who wins.
Wow.
He tells me, and I know. Clinton, Obama, definitely. Otherwise, Republican. I always have to call up Charlie and say, Charlie, which way? And he'll tell me he's going to win. That's how he's voting. The rest of the family, total Republican. Total.
The family
total.
Windsock. I love that. Chris Matthews, always a pleasure, sir.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. We'll be watching tonight.
You're darling, as Tip O'Neill would say. Darling, beautiful on the outside and the inside, as he would say.
I got a Chris Matthews laugh. All right. I love you.
Okay,
bye, Chris.
Wow.
We got a hop. We got to use that like Overman used to for Oddball.
You were talking over him when he did it.
No, I wasn't. Go back and get it. All right, okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
They call me her.
Yeah.
They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name.
Get it.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. No live blog. We cannot have Mondays with Matthews. Chris Matthews is not as easily tricked as our other friends into painting the fence for free.
Although my dad was a fireman his entire life, and he was a Democrat. So Chris Matthews said, all firefighters are Republicans. Not necessarily true.
Fair enough.
And they're Irish.
Good point.
My dad's not Irish.
Okay. No, Lavoie, not a Irish name.
No, not at all.
Hey, this hour is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Wow, we got fancy new sponsors. Certified pre-owned vehicles, certified affordable luxury. Thank you, Mercedes-Benz.
We love Mercedes-Benz.
It's the advertising power of the Stephanie Miller Show. I think Chris Matthews, he would be delightful. I think he's a little busy.
Yeah.
I seriously can't wait for the Bill Clinton special. Am I the biggest cable news geek ever?
Kinda.
Oh, you know what I did Friday night?
What?
I watched Ed Schultz in Madison. It was amazing. Amazing. I texted him like a big geek, even though he's my friend. I was like, awesome. Awesome. So proud of you. And he was just, it really is. It's like the right man, right time, right issue. And it just, what's going on in Madison is just, you cannot understate the importance. Like Chris and I were just talking
about. That's
right. Sue sent me a picture of her sign at the Madison rally. Steph, I made a sign for the rally in Madison on Saturday, and she sent me a picture of herself holding it. It says, Scott Louise Walker, stop being such a douche nozzle. So you could be there in spirit. Mama, your sign was a big hit. Lots of people took photos and yelled, yay, Stephanie. Those who hadn't listened, i.e. Tea Party protesters, came up and kept asking, is Louise really Scott Walker's middle name?
Oh, God.
Oh, you Morans. Get a brain, Morans.
And you could tell it was teachers protesting because all the signs were spelled correctly.
Yeah, that's what the teabaggers didn't recognize.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get it. Everything's spelled right.
And you could tell the tea partiers because they had misspellings and improper syntax.
Oh, my God. Once again, the storyline, just, of course, completely the opposite of the truth. They're saying, oh, it's all there. These are people aren't even from here. The unions are just paying people to come in. Are you kidding me? It's the teeth baggers that are getting bussed in from other places by the usual, as Chris Matthews
right.
just said, the usual right-wing groups.
That's right.
Please. Oh, all right. Mike writes, Steph, I went to Madison to protest. The best protest sign there, screw us and we multiply.
Ah, ah. That's
funny. We're funny. There were 25 to 40,000 people there at any given time throughout my stay. Many more people are protesting than is getting reported, as this is a rolling protest movement. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The protesting started around 9 a.m. and lasted until the end of the Ed Show at 10 p.m. Actually, the protest is going on 24/7 as some people are sleeping, obviously, in the Capitol building. In solidarity, Mike! Woohoo! Let's go to David in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, you guys. And, there hasn't been any follow-up as far as those teabagger Congress people that are millionaires that are pushing for this union busting scheme.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying to Chris Matthews, the Koch brothers are provably behind this once again, and they have business interests in Wisconsin. I mean, it just...
Exactly. And then not only that, but the follow-up as to the fact that Wisconsin was left a surplus before Walker took office.
Yeah, no,
that hasn't been hammered enough, except for you guys, of course.
Well, no, absolutely. But that's why I think, you know, that Chris is right, that he has overreached this time, you know, Governor Walker, because that's a little too obvious that you're only punishing the unions that voted against you and not the ones that, I mean, if there really is a problem with union benefits, how come everybody doesn't? It's so transparent. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, dip my nads in cream and lock me in a room full of kittens. Look who's back.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. 34 minutes after the hour. We love you, Madison.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
Yeah. In solidarity. You know, Urza Klein, our buddy, our pal.
That's right.
Yeah, I could see the look of him. You were so impressed that I said that correctly.
Ezra.
Urza.
Ezra.
Oh, okay, that's correct. I didn't say it right.
No,
that's
you
why
didn't.
You gave me that look.
Yeah.
I thought you were giving me an encouraging look, and it wasn't.
No. I was giving you oh, poor you. Oh, honey.
He is a bless your heart.
Oh.
He has a great piece in the Washington Post on the Madison situation, which I think just sums it up better than anybody. He says, let's be clear, whatever fiscal problems Wisconsin is or is not facing at the moment, they are not caused by labor unions. That's also true for Jersey, Ohio, other states. There was no sharp rise in collective bargaining in 2006 and 7, no major reforms of the country's labor laws, no dramatic change in how unions organize, and yet state budgets collapsed, revenues plummeted. Taxes had to go up and spending had to go down all across the country. Blame the banks, blame global capital flows, blame lax regulation of Wall Street. Blame home buyers or home sellers, but don't blame the unions, not for this recession. I think, Chris, Americans' basic sense of fairness has got to look at this situation and go, this is not fair.
That's right.
They did not cause this crisis. And by the way, they're offering concessions. He won't even negotiate. He wants to take away their ability to negotiate anything ever again.
Yeah.
How is that fair? Anyway, Ezra writes, the buildup of global capital that overheated the American housing sector and got packaged into seemingly reckless financial products that then brought down Wall Street, paralyzing the economy, throwing millions out of work, destroying the revenues from state income and sales taxes, even as state residents needed more social services. The answer to that is not to end collective bargaining for some public employees. A plus B plus C does not equal what Governor Scott Walker is attempting in Wisconsin. Badger State, as we've said, was actually in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to end this budget cycle with about $120 million in the bank. Instead, it's facing a deficit. Why? He says, I'll let the state's official fiscal scorekeeper explain. The governor called a special session of the legislature, signed two business tax breaks and a conservative health care policy experiment that lowers overall tax revenues. The new legislation not offset. It helped turn a surplus into a deficit. Public workers are now being asked to pick up the tab for this agenda. Period. End of sentence.
That's right.
Public employees aren't being asked to make a one-time payment into the state's coffers. Rather, Walker is proposing to sharply curtail their right to bargain collectively. Forever! A cyclical downturn that isn't their fault, plus an unexpected reversal in Wisconsin's budget picture that wasn't their doing, is being used to permanently end their ability to sit across the table from their employer and negotiate what their health insurance should look like. That's how you keep a crisis from going to waste. You take a complicated problem that requires the apparent need for bold action and use it to achieve a long-time ideological objective. In this case, permanently weakening public employee unions, a group much loathed by Republicans in general and by the Republican legislatures who have to battle them in elections in particular. This is all about politics, pure and simple. And note that not all public employee unions are covered by Walker's proposal. As we've been saying, the more conservative public safety unions, notably police and firefighters, many of whom endorse Walker, are exempt.
That's right.
How do you explain that? Has anyone even asked him to explain that? You can't. You can't defend it. You can't explain it. Ezra finishes by saying there's too much deferred compensation in public employee packages. And though the blame for that structure lies partially with government officials and state residents who wanted to pay later for services now, it's true that situations change and unsustainable commitments require reform. But that's not what Walker is doing. He's attacking the right to bargain collectively, which is to say he's attacking the very foundation of labor unions and worker power using an economic crisis. Unions didn't cause a budget reversal. Walker himself helped create to justify it. Public employee unions are on the mat. Walker is trying to make sure they don't get back up. Good for you, Ezra. I mean, just nails it, right? I mean, that's
right.
And by the way, as I've said, the unions are offering to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think, as Ezra, that he's the only person I've seen point that out, that even that really is not their fault. It really is the fault of a lot of the go, oh yeah, we want these services, we don't want to pay for it now.
Exactly.
And so they've been taking cut after cut in pay in order to get those benefits down the road. They're
payments.
Like, okay.
Right.
That's the deal we struck with them,
mm-hmm.
and now basically we want to break our deal with them,
right.
Which, you know, okay, you can even say, okay, well, maybe I guess we have to because now we can't afford it, and that sucked that we made that promise, and, you know, it's our instant gratification thing. We're like, we don't want to pay for this now, so we'll do this down the road. Well, now we can't,
right.
And they're willing to negotiate, but that's not what he's doing here. All right.
I actually said that last week.
I don't listen to you.
I know you don't.
Ezra Klein says it. It's different.
Okay.
All right. Hang on a second. Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Let me tell you, there were a lot of people sleeping at the Capitol last night, hundreds of people. And here's the amazing part. Food, water, supplies, clothing, bedding is being shipped in from all over the world.
Well, Chris was just saying you got pizza, didn't you, from lots of it from somewhere.
I think from Egypt. I'm not sure. I will
yeah.
tell you this,
yeah.
that Scott Walker is losing. And being there yesterday, I got to figure that maybe the Tea Party likes ice in their Coke, but not in their tea.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I think that's a Koch Brothers circular joke. Yes.
It was people are donating to Ian's Pizza in Madison, right there in Madison. People from around the world, and they have a big chalkboard saying where the donations are coming from. It's all over the world. It's great.
I heard that doctors in Wisconsin are offering to write sick notes for teachers.
And Fox News is reporting that as fraud.
Michael in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mama and Mooks.
Hello.
You know, a few things. Number one, what this Wisconsin governor is doing is an absolute crime. I heard that he squandered the surplus to create a deficit and to have his attacks on the unions. You know, the unions are not the problem. The unions are not the problem, and the cuts are not the solution. The solution is for these damn Republicans to start stepping up to the plate and take responsibility for their actions. They're the ones that squander the budget for their own personal crap. And back where I come from, you do not take things that don't belong to you. If you do, you put them back and make condition.
Yep.
And one more thing that gets me so upset, Steph, is that we hear these right-wingers want to say, you got to support police officers, you got to support firefighters. Those two are union jobs. And I remember with the Zadraga 9/11 bill, they were ducking and dodging the proper care for them. So what is it? That police officers are only good for roughing up the right?
Yes, as political props when they're needed. Exactly right. Yep. See, we have all the smartest kids in this class. I'm just saying. We must have had Wisconsin teachers.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, we should point out the fun facts, because we actually care about facts over here on our side. Ezra Klein did do an update. It's a little complicated.
It is.
But here, just for the sake of fairness, he says he's talking about the surplus to deficit picture is more complicated than it's two budget periods they're talking about simultaneously. This is what happens: is Republicans play games with the numbers
they
and
sure do.
Throw stuff out, and you go, "What? Where'd you get that?" Okay, the $130 million deficit now projected for 2011 isn't the fault of the tax breaks passed during Walker's special session, though his special session created about $120 million in deficit spending between 2011 and 2013, and perhaps more than that if his policies are extended. That is to say, the deficit spending he created in his special session is about to equal the deficit Wisconsin faces this year, but it's not technically correct to say that Walker created 2011's deficit. Rather, he added $120 million to the 2011-2013 deficit, and perhaps more than that in years after that. Which I don't understand how that's exactly different, but thank you.
Just to be fair.
It still sounds about the same to me, is all I'm saying. It's making unions pay for something they had nothing to do with.
It was my understanding that when I took this job, there would be no math involved.
Yes.
I... Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's why I don't pay you double digits.
What? Union now!
This is not about money. It's never been about money. It's about the Republican Party trying to squash the Democrats, trying to squash union rights.
Yes, that's correct. Stephanie in Madison with her favorite sign. Hi, Steph.
Hey, Steph. My voice is somewhat gone, so you have to excuse me.
That's okay.
We've been screaming a little bit here in Wisconsin, but Scott Walker eats kittens. It was the darlingest thing. Homemade. It's so awesome. With some of the teachers, there's art teachers out there, and so you can tell when they're there because their signs are just beautiful,
Right.
Their penmanship is delightful.
It's awesome. We're making signs all over Lakeside Printing here on Willie Street. We're just...
You know what we should do? We should have Edie McClurg. She has the... What is that she writes in? She has the most amazing...
Calligraphy.
We will have her write a calligraphy sign for one of you in Madison and send it along.
Exactly. Send it on to me.
But she used to teach, didn't she? She's...
Yeah. Exactly.
Stephanie, you've been yelling, haven't you?
Yes, I have been for
kill the bell.
A week.
Kill the bell.
Oh.
All right.
I had to try and take off yesterday because I could not speak at all, but I'm going back there today, and if I use the last little piece of my voice, so be it.
All right.
We go, girl.
Honey and lemon. There we go.
We're not out here just for money and salary. It's for rights.
Yep.
Thank you. That's what it's all about. Let's go to John in Louisiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, John.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to mention a couple things. One, the bill is going to take away really nothing from the unions. All it's going to do is have them pay their fair share and help them balance the budget.
No, that's not correct.
Nope.
That is not. This is not what it's about, John. He is taking away their collective bargaining rights.
It may take away away the some of their rights, but they're covered under the Civil Service Act. So, no, it really doesn't take away
Yes, it does. It takes away their right to collectively bargain forever.
And right.
Well, it also takes away the rights for the other communities in Madison. One in particular, the teachers union, is forcing the local governments in Wisconsin to buy insurance from their insurance company, costing the local governments over $638,000 more than if they could go out and have a bid.
John, they're not forcing them to do anything. Do you understand negotiation? If you go in and you buy a car, you negotiate a deal.
They are permanently going to take away the teachers' rights to sit down and negotiate working conditions with their employers.
Yeah. Anybody that's ever negotiated a deal, bought a car, anything, do you not get it? If you've, first of all, this is what they agreed to.
That's right.
The union. It's like, okay, you will take this cut and pay in exchange for this, you know, benefit later on.
Right. Nobody forced the governments to sign these agreements.
You try going to after you bought a car, and you know what? I can't afford this anymore. So can we, Rena, and see what they say? I mean, you know, we're the ones going, as I keep saying, back on a deal to them. And and they even seem to understand that. And, okay, you know, things have changed. And now we can, even though, wouldn't you feel screwed? You're like, hey, that's the deal I took. That's why I took less money, and I got to buy my own school supplies.
That's right.
And now we're reneging, basically. And they're willing to negotiate what degree we can renege. And that's not enough. You know, it is about crushing the unions. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on all this as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. This is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard coming up after the top of the hour to co-host Right Wing World. Edie McClurg, of course, and another delightful Mondays with McClurg in hour number 3.
That's right.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Keith in Columbus. Hi, Keith. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
As much as I hate to do this because I really wanted to have a Palin-free February,
yes.
I have to comment on her response. She said that, we union brothers and sisters, that real solidarity means everybody being willing to sacrifice. Well, there's a problem with that. See, the teachers have volunteered to give up 10% of their take-home pay to kick that in. So as long as the governor and the state legislature and, let's say, the top 1% of the income earners in Wisconsin, if they're willing to kick in 10% of their earning, their net earnings, yeah, that would be solidarity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The Tea Partiers have arrived. Have you seen it, Chris? They were, bussed in by the Koch brothers, et cetera. What was I going to say? Oh, here's one of the doctors. She was on ABC. She said the doctors realize they can get in trouble for offering to write sick notes.
They kind of can.
But she said, we think it's worth the risk. Teachers have no choice. Solidarity. Wow, they're seeing nearly 70,000 filled the square because obviously pro-union activists in the huge majority. The Tea Partiers carried signs reading, your gravy train is over. Welcome to the recession. Sorry we're late, Scott. We work for a living. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. None of the other people there work. Okay.
Great.
Tea Party groups also pledged to begin recall efforts against the 14 Democratic state legislators.
Of course.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing they know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Dan Hunt, a self-proclaimed Tea Party member, told the Capital Times, this has angered a lot of us. What you see in the Capitol is just a bunch of out-of-state people being paid by the unions. Yeah. Right. Where's my lying sack? Oh, just load your liar cannon over there. I'll find it. Mm-hmm.
What's it like to be a liar? Huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
There it is. Yeah, as our caller mentioned, Sarah Palin weighed in, of course, on Facebook, telling union members they should break away from their leaders. Isn't that nice? She said, you don't have to kowtow to the union bosses who are not looking out for you, but instead are using you.
Did she go on to explain how these union leaders are using the rank and file?
No. If you ask me, it's the Koch brothers that are using these idiot teabaggers who,
like Sarah Palin.
To be against their own interests. Yeah. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Senate Minority Leader Mark Miller said the idea is to sit down and negotiate. We've heard over 1,000 people testify about the impact this is going to have on their lives. It's heartbreaking. People break down in tears. This is a disaster. We're being asked to swallow it in just 4 days. Walker, of course, has been calling upon the Democrats to return and end their theatrics. Miller said Walker is offering tax breaks elsewhere. He created $140 million in tax breaks for corporations in Wisconsin. As we said, gee, there's that magic number again that he somehow needs back from you money-grubbing teachers. Let's go to Jim in Iowa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, over the weekend, the police officers union that publicly endorsed Walker publicly repudiated that endorsement.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good, good. Yeah. A lot of the protesters making really great points.
He's not thinking. He could sit down and rationally discuss this, but he's a chicken.
Oh.
Well, I mean, that's I think, what executive director of the Wisconsin Public Workers Union sent a message to the governor's office agreeing to cuts to pension and welfare benefits sought by Walker in his bill. The governor's response was nothing doing. He wants the whole kit and caboodle, the end of collective bargaining rights of public unions. As you know, many people pointed out, this is the first shot in the final battle to end unionism in America. That's what this is about. He doesn't want to negotiate.
And he wants to take away your Labor Day.
Yeah. Huh? Let's go to John in Chicago. Hi, John. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
What's going on in Washington has so many, Wisconsin has so many presidential implications. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, if Walker overplays his hands, he can lose Wisconsin for Republicans in 2012, and that is going to be big problems for Republicans.
Well, and I hope so, John, and I think he is overplaying his hand. As Chris Matthews told us last hour, I think he's overreaching here. I think it is too transparent, particularly when you exempt the two unions that voted for you.
That's right.
I mean, it just looks as blatantly political as it is. Pete in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Go protest. Go to all my brothers and sisters that I marched with, and there were probably about 100,000 at the square on Saturday, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Friday they were saying, estimating 70.
Yeah. I wanted to let you all know that something that's getting lost in the debate, and I'll make this quick. It isn't just, along with the union issue, which is really important, Walker also wants to cut Medicaid and Badger Care. That would be medical assistance for poor and disabled people, and it would also cut back and severely, perhaps even end mass transit in the state. And I wanted to add that into the debate.
Yep, I hear you, honey. I hear you.
This is chipping away at our very middle class, at what our people have as a life in Wisconsin.
A lot of people losing their voice in Madison. I'm surprised there's this many people you've been able to call.
I know.
Keith in Madison. Hey, Keith.
No, make that short. Wisconsin, the home of Judge Rehnquist and the Zucker brothers. Anyhow, it's quite a combination. I still have my voice. I'm middle class. I don't belong to a union. I made the progressive trip to Lourdes out to Madison this weekend. Let me point out one thing, too, that's kind of interesting, and I just saw this. It turns out that Scott Walker has arranged an outside contract. He's creating jobs, right, but he just arranged an outside contract for senior care where he's going to spend $30 million to create jobs in India.
Nah, beautiful. Ed in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hi, good morning, guys. Two quick things. First of all, if the teachers' union forcing the state to buy them insurance is such a problem, how come we didn't have a deficit in this last budget cycle? How come we had a surplus?
Yeah.
And second of all, the last governor, Governor Doyle, who was Democratic, by the way, used to use retired state vehicles for his personal transportation, and Scott Walker just commissioned a brand-new 2011 GMC for his personal use.
Oh, did he now? Did he now? Well, I can see why he's running out of cash so quickly.
He's sucking off the public teat.
58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard from Media Matters joins us to co-host Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Like Linda did from Minneapolis. Stuff. I'm so happy. I just received the Stephanie Miller Show black cap. Huh, I look so good now. Plus, I can advertise your show. Thank you. What a delightful idea. Also, the StepCast, a delightful gift, a delightful purchase. $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. $7.95 a month if you have commitment issues.
And if you get a StepCast, you're entered to win.
Yes! Oh, the answering machine contest.
That's
I will
right.
record your answering machine message.
That's right. We're going to be giving away two of those until... if you enter to win anytime before the 15th of March.
Yes, indeed. Yep. All right. And I may even drag Jim into doing a voice or two.
I used to do that before I got into voiceover, recording people's answering machine messages in different voices.
It's all magically full circle
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, here I am back to square one.
Great.
See, we could do Linda's. We could do after the Where's the Beef? Linda's not here right now. She's in a tavern drinking with John Boner.
Tavern. So all I was right. just rocking out to the 90s station on the satellite radio. My favorite band, better than Urza.
That's a joke about how I mispronounced Ezra Klein's name again.
Not as good
again.
As Ezekiel. Uh-huh. Or Ezekiel, mm-hmm. as Stephanie pronounced. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Linda says, P.S. So where were you this weekend, Ms. Miller, being the lonesome one at home watching your wet wall disintegrate? Or out with the big names of Hollywood? That would be the number one. I was watching my wet wall disintegrate.
Did they
Thank
disintegrate?
No, they're fixing that.
They're fixing the disintegration.
Everything one thing holds, the roof is holding in the deck, and now there's a wall problem, wall gutter or something.
Whatever.
So your house issue. Hasn't collapsed in on you yet.
No, but Good. It's getting there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's Monday. You know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I love your piece on Karl Rove, suddenly realizing that, you know, this birther thing makes us look kind of crazy.
Actually, you know, to his credit, he has been saying that on and off, but it's funny. The point is that, you know, the reason the birther has his momentum is this sort of Republican noise machine, you know, Fox News and talk radio and Rush Limbaugh. They're the one fueling it. And,
yeah.
and poor Karl Rove is now deciding Republicans need to stand up or we're going to look foolish in 2012. It's a little late for that.
I love you're right. Good luck stopping it at this late date, Carl. You say there's no off switch on the increasingly hateful and irresponsible noise machine, and at least not one Karl Rove can find, just like Bill Kristol couldn't find one when Beck went off into caliphate land.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are the supposedly, you know, serious Republicans, people who try to run campaigns and elections, and they realize how absurd it is if you're going to go to independent voters in 2012 with, you know, with this background noise about the President of the United States, oh, might have been born in Kenya or something. It's sort of a red flag, and again, Karl Rove has now decided, well, A, he blames it on the White House in his interview with Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He claimed this was all a White House strategy to make
sure.
Republicans look silly. But the point is this noise machine, which, again, you know, Republicans loved when it swift-boated John Kerry. It loved it when it portrayed Democrats as terrorist sympathizers under the Bush years, but now they can't control it, and it's gone so far over the rails, and it's going to come back to haunt them. There's no question about that.
You have a great Isn't It Ironic file this week about how in the Glenn Beck and others outraged that some union protesters in Madison are calling Scott Walker a dictator when they've been doing that for 2 years straight about the president.
Well, they got the first half right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dictator stuff with Obama, basically, you know, I don't think they had cleaned up the inauguration festivities when, you know, people were taken to the streets in early 2009 calling Obama a dictator and, you know, it's Nazi-like and all this thing. So here we are 100 weeks later. And we're supposed to be deeply offended that some protesters in Wisconsin might have referred to, you know, the Republican governor as a dictator. It's a little late in the game, 100 weeks in, to suddenly feign offense at the use of that phrase.
Yeah, it seems to be completely lost on Rush that he was democratically elected at this point. Well, the regime, my friends, we have to go Egypt on their ass. And the last thing before we dive into right-wing world, these Breitbart bloggers, really, speaking of really off the rails on the right, I mean... You talk about, like, Joan Walsh was on Hardball. We just had Chris on this morning, but I saw that when she called out one Breitbart blogger for, he clearly blamed Lara Logan for being sexually assaulted. And, you know, she's just quoting what he said, and now they go insane when Media Matters, like, quotes exactly what they said.
Right, this is the new, we're so far down the rabbit's hole, this is sort of the latest chapter. It's just sort of this incessant victimology. They're always the victim. And so what are they the victim of? They're the victim of people accurately quoting them. So this nutty Breitbart blogger, this happened to be on his own site, as you say, clearly blamed Logan for being sexually assaulted in Egypt. And so when people quote him and condemn him, he writes a blog post saying he's been smeared because why? Because people have been accurately quoting what he said. So it's this really, it's funny, but B, it's sort of disturbing and just sort of bizarre. That look, if you're going to be in the game and you're going to be making these statements, back them up. Don't pretend that a mouse just ran across the floor and you hop on the table when someone quotes your stuff back.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You'll
if you're going to play the game. Play the game. Don't run for the exits and play the victim every time someone quotes you.
Eric, you'll be entertained to know that I actually Media Matters was mentioned in a conversation with my 88-year-old Republican mother this weekend. And I brought up Media Matters, and she's like, oh, well, dear, they do some awful things, too. I'm like, no, Mom, they just quote what people say on the right. Glenn Beck has become like my other sibling or something. She's like defending Glenn Beck to me. I'm like, what?
O'Reilly has been claiming that about Media Matters for 5 years. You know, what we do is unconscionable, and, of course, what we do is we quote people. So now this has filtered throughout the right-wing media landscape that if when Media Matter quotes you, you have been smeared.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Welcome to their version of reality.
All right, let's do our version of it. Right-wing world, here we go. It's this actual audio of the actual people.
That's right.
So you can judge for yourself, you see.
Smear.
All right, Dana Perino on Fox and Friends.
I mean, maybe at some point I think they have to say, okay, we made our point. We want to come to the table and talk about this.
But the governor says he will not negotiate on this. He just wants to vote.
This can't go on forever. And really, is this the last thing Wisconsin needed, which was to make it more clear why you shouldn't grow and build a business there?
What?
What? Oh, dear God. Wow. So, yeah, I think what this has proven is they shouldn't have elected Scott Walker is what it's proven.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this ties into, entrepreneurs in Wisconsin. But look, I mean, Fox News, kind of like Egypt, is it took them a few days to figure out, okay, who do we hate here? And, you know, I think they, even Fox News minus Beck and a couple of, were a little reluctant to just sort of, declare war on the middle class in Wisconsin. But eventually they felt comfortable enough, and they have done that, basically.
Hey, Eric, is it me, or did they just inadvertently prove our point there that Governor Walker is the one with the unyielding position, the one that's, unwilling to compromise?
That was a good point when the reporter anchor brought up that, by the way, Walker will not compromise, or we wouldn't even talk about this.
Change the subject.
Yeah, she's like,
she got a little stumbly there for a second, and then
perhaps I wasn't told the facts before I opened my mouth. Well, that makes him look unreasonable, doesn't it? All right, Bill O'Reilly.
The Battle of Madison, Wisconsin is the seminal showdown over whether government union power can be tamed. The alternative is higher taxes until the middle class is picked clean and the U.S. economy is no longer competitive, unquote. Talking Points believes that's basically true, that union wages and benefits have now reached a point where governments can't afford to operate, and even some private concerns can't make a profit.
Because of unions, there is a middle class, you dope.
I wonder, what if the Satan worshippers are unionized?
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, it's interesting, and it's sort of been, I mean, more than sort of, it's been definitely been glossed over at Fox News, is the state unions have been quite open in that they're willing to take cuts, and if there's a budget crisis, they'll do their part. But what has been sort of glossed over, again, is that Walker really went so far beyond that with this legislation in terms of trying to zero out collective bargaining.
It is the definition of overreaching, absolutely.
Yes. So Fox News is trying to portray it as these greedy, you know, union workers won't take a pay cut, they're bankrupting the state. But again, they clearly have said that they will.
Even though they had zero to do with the deficit.
Right, with the meltdown. Yeah, exactly. They're willing to pay their, you know, pay their part and take the sacrifice. But that has just been ignored, and they're trying to portray the unions as just sort of these greedy millionaire sandbagging lucky ducks who get to just stay home.
Those money-grubbing teachers, Eric. There's just no end to it. Yeah, I love how the right wing is spinning it. Jim, we were talking about this last week about them saying, well, they should be thanking Governor Walker. He's trying to save their job. It's like someone running over you, and then I'm trying to help you up. I know, but you broke my legs. I can't get up. I'm trying to help you.
Yes, and because of Hitler, there's the state of Israel, because so many Jews had to flee Europe. So,
thank you, Hitler.
So, yeah. See what I did for you?
Oh, God.
All right, Eric Mueller remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World after this.
That was distasteful.
17 minutes after the hour.
First Hitler reference of the day.
Yeah,
Stephanie
great.
Miller. The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
DJ in Madison is a firefighter. That's why he goes to the front of the line. Hi, DJ.
Hi, Steph. Hey, I am a firefighter in Wisconsin. I'm a member of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, as well as our international union. As far as I know, and we've been told by our union leaders, there's only one local, and that was the city of Milwaukee that actually supported Walker. Everyone else supported Barrett. And I've been up marching at the Capitol a couple of days on my off days. Locals from all over the state except the city of Milwaukee are marching in solidarity with their brethren up there. So
yep.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Just yet another reason for me to love a firefighter. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Eric Bollard remains in the sidecar as we finish up the Right Wing World. Oh, I'm sorry to do it to you, Eric. Rush Limbaugh, here we go.
Never again can it be said that Obama is an historic president or a president who's a force for good.
What?
It cannot be said that Obama is a force for true reform or a force for unity.
Based on
he
what?
Is the opposite. Barack Obama just as angry inside as the protesters in Madison. He's just as hateful of this society as the teachers carrying those signs.
What planet is he on?
Angry black man. Look, boo, scary. Angry black man.
Angry people in Wisconsin.
I love that. It's such a non-starter, and the right wing has just clung to it, that Obama is just the seething, revolutionary, angry, it runs so counter to what every perception of him is. It's just a complete dead end, but they just cannot let it go.
Yeah, if he just stopped doing the Black Power salute, that would help.
Yeah, he's the kind of angry liberal that Ed Schultz and a lot of other people don't think he was strong enough in support of the unions. He issued his usual sort of down the middle kind of, supporting them, but saying, we need to negotiate and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Usually conservatives are very adept at sort of tapping into a weakness in a Democrat. And here, again, they're just running so counter to character and so counter to the public perception. It just gets them nowhere. And yet, again, it fascinates me that they are committed to this push of portraying Obama as this seething, radical, angry man.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Andrew Napolitano on Fox and Friends.
We're following whether President Obama himself is behind what the unions are doing in Wisconsin, using children as almost as shields in political demonstrations, and whether that comes to Trenton, New Jersey next. Could you imagine Chris Christie confronting a crowd like that?
Shields.
Because I don't think there was any kids at the Tea Party rallies, right?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
No. For 2 years running, right. Children were not allowed.
So is he calling for violence at these protests so people can shoot children? Is that what he's saying?
Is that what he's hoping for? Yeah. Unbelievable. Glenn Beck on the TV.
This is during the progressive era. And on the other side of the ocean were the Fabian socialists. They are from the same tree, and they bear the same kind of fruit. The Fabian socialists were George Bernard Shaw and H.G. Wells. Mm-hmm. These people did not, but they believed like that there was a superior race. These are the ultimate ranchers. It is from the Fabian socialists and the progressives that we get the death camps in Germany. In the 1930s.
Yes, it's the liberals that caused the Nazis to...
I'm really more I'm a more of a Fabio socialist myself.
he lost me about 10 seconds in.
I cannot believe he's not a moron.
I can't follow.
I literally had no idea what he was talking about.
It doesn't matter. Hannity, to finish things out today.
Do we have to strike first and take out their facilities? Do we have to take their facilities out?
In Iran.
Is that the only way to stop them?
What?
Fund the democracy movement within and try and bring them down from within first. If that fails, you have no choice. You've got to strike.
So we got to
The question
them.
Is, will the United States stand with Israel? Because I think Israel is the first target and the United States the second one. And the West, the entire West.
So if they don't get freedom in Iran, we have to kill them.
Yes.
That's the only option.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Hannity's...
Give me liberty or give me death is his point.
Is Sean plotting U.S. attacks again?
Yes!
He better get new map makers so he gets the right place. Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
See you next week. There he goes.
What, you bombed Spain?
Boy.
How did that happen?
That's a great team. Sean Hannity and John Bolton. No, go! Oh, no! Not that.
And the Fox News map-making department.
If it's the wrong country, so be it.
So what? All right. Shannon and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hey.
First of all, thanks so much for covering this, because last week no one was really covering it. You guys are, and we really appreciate that.
You're
Madison. So, second of all, Scott Walker's been saying that he hasn't really heard any opposition to his office about it's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like the mob in Frankenstein. I don't hear anything. Do you? I don't.
Yeah, Helen Keller didn't hear anything either.
But he's saying that no one's contacting him. So myself and a bunch of our friends have contacted him or emailed him. I tried to call for 3 days in a row, and he can't get through to his office.
Huh. Yeah, his voicemail is full.
His voicemail
yes,
is full,
with
exactly.
all the support, he says. He's getting a huge outpouring of support.
I know, it's ridiculous. So this is all for Wisconsiners. If you oppose the bill, please email him or call him or try and do something, that way so that he can get those numbers. Because he's not going to tell us that, but please have people do that. So thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, I don't see anything. I can't see. Well, I see some torches and pitchforks, but other than that, I can't see beyond that. What's happening out there? I feel support is what I feel.
Nobody in the protest is even carrying anything as remotely dangerous as a pitchfork or a torch either.
No,
there wasn't a single arrest over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray McGovern got arrested.
Yeah.
For exercising his First Amendment rights.
And what with the president whipping people up and using kids as human shields and giving the Black Power salute over and over.
Sure. Radical.
It's a wonder. 29, the Cheddar Revolution. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I just knew by your weathered hands and super smelly breath that you'd be good for a funny saying or two.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
34 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the way, you know that Marine guy, the top Marine? He says don't ask, don't tell will not lead to a big exodus in the force, as Grampy McSame told us it would.
I thought he was saying that it would be detrimental to the troops.
Yeah, now he's not saying that anymore.
Oh, so he's a flip-flopper.
Yes, General James Amos.
Mm-hmm.
He once said openly gay service members would be a dangerous distraction, was among the most outspoken opponents of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He said today he does not expect to lose any troops, so I guess he either lied or he flip-flopped. I'm not really sure. He said, I haven't any indication of that. Not at all. When asked if he expected the mass exodus that John McCain had predicted. when he said that that was not the policy.
It's going to be a mass exodus, my friends. They will part the Red Sea to get all the...
And he said John McCain, as it turns out, just a...
What?
Cranky old bastard.
Son of a...
He said he addressed some 12,000 Marines about the change, and everyone said, sir, we got it. We're going to do this thing. Yeah, see, that's what they do. They take orders, pretty much, is what the troops do. So it was really a big non-issue, wasn't it, Grampy?
Come to think of
Shut up.
Turns out it was the policy, wasn't it?
It was the damn policy.
It was the policy.
Get off my lawn.
Come to think of it, the only gays in the military I know are Marines. Seriously.
Wouldn't that be funny if they asked him and he just went, yeah, John McCain's just a cranky old bastard.
Cranky old coot.
I just said what he said. I was, it's not true. Okay. Let's go to Kathy in Chicago. Hi, Kath.
Hi, good morning, Steph. Good morning, Mooks. Yes. I'm just wondering if anybody's finding it odd that they're asking teachers to modify their contracts, you know, give up 10%. But when you ask the banks after 2009 and all this to modify a loan contract for a mortgage, they're like, no, 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 contracts are sacred.
Huh. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what Kathy, I've been saying that all morning, that we're the one that is breaking our deal with the teachers.
Right.
How many other instances in life can you do that? You know,
right.
Where you just go, oh, well, now it's different time, so I can't pay what I said I was going to. Yeah, you go to a bank and try that with your mortgage, right?
They refuse this whole big thing of we have to, contracts are sacred. What would happen to business? It's okay though if it's a teacher's contract. They're just trying to rip everyone off.
Yes.
Yes. Teachers, they hardly work at all. I have a friend who's a teacher. Every night she's doing reading papers, writing papers, making lessons plans. These teachers don't stop at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
No.
They're working all night long.
Yep. Here is one of the Republican statements.
We have fair queens and Cadillacs. That's all you need to know.
This is one of the Republican state senators there.
People say, I can't live with an 8 or 9% cut in take-home pay. I think, my goodness, you should be happy to have a job.
Yeah, see? You should thank Governor Walker.
Mm. Wow.
Okay, another Republican state
senator. There was a time for debate, and the Democrats in the Senate decided they'd rather go to Illinois instead of be here debating this bill. So that time has come and gone.
Oh, please. He has never wanted to debate anything. That's exactly the point. He's saying, I'm not debating anything. This is just what we're doing. That's why they left. They felt they had no other choice.
Right.
I don't know where the story ran. Republican attempts to disband public workers' unions in Wisconsin and other key states, part of a broad strategy to undermine President Obama and his Democrats, the ballot box analysts say. That's all this is about, period. They've seen their power and membership roles shrink as the manufacturing sector declined and shifted to anti-union southern states, now represent just 12% of U.S. workers. Public workers account for more than half of union roles, even though a dozen states prohibit state and local government workers from forming unions. And now Republican governors in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, and Iowa looking to curtail or even eliminate collective bargaining rights for state and government employees. The move to bust unions is part of a broader attempt to, quote, bring us closer to a more permanent Republican majority. Said a top political science professor. Republicans won a major victory. I talked to Chris Matthews about this with, Citizens United. 190 million, Jim, they spent conservative groups compared to 94 million for liberals, which is would help propel this, you know. I don't know that there was some big, huge ideological landslide. There was a landslide of green, that's for sure. Anyway, but what they're saying is, you know, curtailing collective bargaining rights for public worker unions will essentially cut them off at the knees and will have significant consequences for Democrats politically.
Point.
Yes, exactly. If unions are now out of the game, it shifts over heavily for Republican interests in 2012.
Especially now that corporations are citizens.
Yes, like the Koch brothers. Why, looky there. Koch brothers behind Wisconsin effort to kill public unions.
You don't say.
I thought I smelled Koch suckers.
The juice, you say.
It's people sucking off the Koch brothers' teat again.
Well, kind of like Governor Walker sucking off the public teat.
Yes.
With those Cadillac. What was that
Wanker.
Car?
Pardon?
Wanker. Just barely met her.
Yes. Mm. As the nation focuses on the efforts of Scott Walker to take away collective bargaining rights, new information coming out. Much of the funding behind the Walker for Governor campaign came from the Koch brothers. What's more, the plan to kill the unions right out of the Koch brothers playbook is, as we pointed out earlier, the executive director of the union, they sent a message to the governor's office saying they want to negotiate. He's basically said that no deal. I don't want to negotiate. That's his whole object, is to take away their ability to ever negotiate. Why are the Koch brothers so interested in Wisconsin? They are a major business player in the state, and it goes down to list all of their interests there, yada, yada, yada. This article closes by saying you have to wonder how long it will take for Tea Party devotees to realize just how badly they are being used. Yeah, they're busing in all these teabaggers to Madison that are going to hurt their own self-interest.
Didn't Dana Perino in Right Wing World earlier today say that Madison was a bad place to do business? Well, then why are the Koch brothers doing so much business in Wisconsin?
Exactly. That's where she got that.
They seem to be doing just fine. Yeah.
Yes, indeedy.
Let's go to Mary in Long Island. Hi, Mary. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing? Hi, retired teacher here. Listen, America, I get the privilege of paying $9,000 plus in property taxes because we support our schools here. Okay? And we wouldn't, you know, most of us would
not. Yeah, trust me, I've paid New York property taxes, I know.
Oh, please. And New York City's not as bad as Long Island. But the point, the reason I'm calling is this messaging stuff I've been hearing is a little bit different than the Wisconsin thing, which, of course, I totally support. I'm ready to get on a bus over there. But I've been hearing from the Republicans on these Sunday shows and beyond. The latest thing on the president, he's failing to show leadership. Okay, listen to that word. I'm hearing it. It's probably a Frank Luntz thing. I hear it across the board. The president is failing to show leadership on whatever. Put a colon and say. That's the latest thing. You know, they have the reverse Robin Hood strategy. They are trying to steal from the poor to give to the rich. When are people going to wake up?
Yep.
This Tea Party's a bunch of phony balonies. They were phony from the start.
Thank you, Mary.
I love Mary.
Long Island. Mary from Long Island. All right, Terry in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Yes. Hi, Stephanie. This is I want to tell you, talk about sinister. I've been at the protest every day, and one of the things that they keep saying is he's going to take away most of our bargaining rights, right? Well, in the Sunday paper, they had a breakdown of, in very small print, of what this is actually going to do. And what was so frightening is that they make it sound like he's not really dismantling unions, just taking away some of the rights, and we could still bargain for wages. However, if this goes into law, it's going to be against the law for unions to collect any dues from their from the union members or from union members to even pay in or give money to the unions. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's dismantling unions. It's so sinister. And you know what? He's not smart enough to come in. He can't make this stuff up. He is not smart enough.
It's I know. Obviously, you're like, gee, I wonder if that'll help. That'll hurt to get out the vote for Democrats at all. Huh?
Not at all. I mean, it's so sinister. It's like I feel like one of the old hippies that used to run around our campus on Madison going, revolution during the 70s, but they got it.
Yeah,
so they got it now.
They got themselves a cheddar revolution now. That's what shows is. All right. Megan in...
Hi.
You got it. Hi, Meg.
I'm in Madison over here with my husband. We're getting ready to head out to the rally. And I just wanted to let you know that today is a statewide furlough day. So all state employees are taking the day off unpaid.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of the sacrifices that state employees haven't been making.
Wow.
It's
going to be a huge protest there today.
It should be. Tom Morello is actually coming to town to do a show today, a couple shows. And, yeah, state employees haven't gotten a raise in 2 years and have had 16 furlough days in the past 2 years as part of that sacrifice they haven't made. My husband is a state employee, and he works very hard. I'm just waiting for all this gobs of money that he apparently makes.
All right. Thank you, Megan. Oh, sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, that's about it. I just wanted to thank you, too, for your support.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Phil in Madison. Hi, Phil. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Oops, I beat your button.
Stephanie,
good morning. Go ahead.
I'm a teacher in Madison. This is my seventh day down here. We started after school on Tuesday. I'm a little hoarse right now. One of the things that Scott Walker doesn't get, too, is, you know, he wants Wisconsin to be attractive for businesses. And one of the things that makes Wisconsin attractive for businesses is the good schools.
Yes, exactly.
You know, there's five states in our country that don't have collective bargaining for their teachers. And those five states statistically are in the bottom in terms of standardized test scores. And Wisconsin is, you know, towards the top. And so I'm just afraid that if we lose our collective bargaining for teachers, you know, the ability to attract and retain quality teachers, we're going to start sliding on that slippery slope. People are starting to call us Wississippi,
Good points, even though you're a little hoarse. I'm a little minx, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. No, but that's a Republican strategy because stupid people are easy to control. You know, they want them.
So why is the far right so eager for unions to, you know, take cuts and all that, yet they won't take cuts themselves by
seems a little hypocritical.
By paying a little more in taxes.
Hmm.
It does seem a little hypocritical.
Hmm. It does seem like a big
deal.
Speaking of which, remember how they ran as the party of, you know, lowering the deficit and cutting? They're having these draconian cuts, of course, in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Why? This just in, Jim. The Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan.
Right.
Delivered an official estimate of what repealing the Affordable Care Act would do to the federal budget. According to CBO's estimates, the deficit would rise by $210 billion in the first decade. So that's their first order of business.
What's your point?
Is to raise the debt. Well, yeah. And they have already, extending the tax cuts for the very rich.
So
their first two acts that they've tried to do pretty much have exploded the deficit.
So this is according to the Communist Board of Alchemists. Huh?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do they know about?
Mm-hmm. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on the battle in Washington and in Wisconsin as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. 50 minutes after the hour, mere moments away from Mondays with McClurg. Let's go to John in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. I want to raise a little attention on a provision in this bill, which hasn't been mentioned much. If you pull it up online, I believe it's on page 26. It gives governors the unilateral power to declare a state of emergency in Wisconsin for at least 15 days, in which case they can fire any union employees or non-union employees without cause for any sort of union activity. There's a long list of different things that are cause enough to do it. And that, if that doesn't sound like Mubarak, I don't know what does.
Yeah, there you go. Denise in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you and so glad to listen because I'm usually at work during it. My daughter and son-in-law are both public employees in Madison, as are several of my close friends there. My daughter, who is a teacher, not of near retirement age, is so concerned about this. And I think her colleagues and associates are, not just because of the money. It's not that they're out there money-grubbing, as you say, going for more money. She's concerned about education. She's concerned that collective bargaining, the loss of it, will lose their ability to dictate class sizes.
A lot of protesters have said that, Denise, that this is not about money for them.
And I was 18 in 1968. That says it all. Now I have a bond with her because she has been involved in something where she has felt the same involvement and inspiration. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm usually very flip and very cool about it. But she's also, as her colleagues, concerned about the other public employees.
Yeah.
The nurses.
No, it's a beautiful thing that's happening in Madison.
It is about the bottom line. What is going to happen? They all know in this economy people are going to take cuts.
Right.
Everybody knows that. We all look every day. Whoa, when are we going to get this cut? When are we going to get that? Our hours, our pay, whatever. No. They are concerned about the quality of their profession and the quality of the care they give.
Yep.
And this is the bottom line.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Democrats have turned the tables on Republicans on the jobs issue. Democrats now throwing those taunts back. Remember, where are the jobs?
Yep.
That the boner would blubber about constantly. Saying it's Republicans who knock thousands of Americans out of work with their demands for deep cuts in federal spending. They are literally...
Oh, that's where the jobs are. We're all about the jobs.
About a million of them, I understand. Jobs, bye-bye, with these cuts. The attacks have caught Republicans at an awkward moment as they shift their chief emphasis from creating jobs to reducing the size of the government and its deficits. They're finding it hard to claim that they can do both at the same time because...
That's why we're doing the cuts for the jobs. That's how you create jobs in a tavern.
If we needed any more evidence that he's just drunk, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do math when you're drunk.
That's why Google has that
exactly
Google Goggles thing for Gmail.
Exactly.
You have to solve a hard math problem before you send a drunken email.
I got drunk texted by a number of people this weekend. It was the weirdest weekend ever in my life. Yeah.
Who?
You don't even want to know. Just different genders and persuasions. It was just really an odd weekend.
What, were you drunk or were they drunk?
Well, I'm always drunk. All right.
Yeah, I noticed when I came by your house yesterday, the blackout curtains were up, so somebody had a hangover.
Blackout curtains? I don't have blackout curtains. All right. Jim, Fox News has alerted us to yet another enormous danger in the country, and that is, what are they calling it? Chrislam. Would you like to know what that is?
What?
Well, funny you should ask. It's... Fox News alerts us to the growing threat of Christian churches allowing Muslims to worship in there, because they're... places are under construction or whatever.
Yeah.
It's they're getting their Muslimy stuff in our Christianity. We're creating Chislam.
So the Christian churches are doing the mosques a solid by letting them...
They're doing the Christian thing, the neighborly thing.
Yeah.
Two Protestant churches are taking some heat from critics for opening their church buildings to Muslim needing places to worship because their own facilities were either too small or under construction at the moment.
Sure, because that'd be the Christian thing to do, and who wants that in a
No!
Church?
Wait a minute! Hey!
Dr. Alex McFarland, a Christian theologian and radio talk show host, charged that these churches have crossed the line from respect and tolerance to affirmation and endorsement.
Oh, come on.
I think it's one more example of political correctness and hyper-tolerance gone awry.
Hyper-tolerance.
It's too much tolerance.
Too much damn tolerance.
He can't tolerate this much tolerance.
It's intolerable, this tolerance.
You know what? The right is now using the term political correctness in order to be racist.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing now.
He says it's good to remember the political ramifications of Muslim-Christian interaction.
Oh,
he says groups run the risk of creating something called Chrislam.
Chrislam.
A comedy. Hey, you got your Ramadan and my Easter.
It's two great tastes that taste great together.
Ramadan eggs.
A combination of the two faces that essentially ignores the big white elephant in the room, the exclusive claims of both Christianity and Islam.
As the ecclesiastical mook likes to point out, the second most revered prophet in the Quran is Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, by the way, we have a hilarious Facebook.
Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic and idiotic file?
Yes. Man tattoos Leviticus 18:22. That's the verse that forbids homosexuality. Mm-hmm. He tattooed that on his arm, but Leviticus 19:28 forbids tattoos.
Oops. Oh, no.
Bless his heart.
I didn't read the whole thing. I mean, there's
it
other
says
stuff in the Bible?
Thou shalt not tattoo. I tattooed it right. Oh, damn it.
I thought it was just about the homosexuals.
Tricked into going to hell. Okay.
Oh, I can't eat pork. Oh, dang it.
What?
I love the scallops.
I can't eat barbecue.
I like barbecued lobster and pork.
Brian and Charlotte.
Sandwich.
Brian, he's chuckling from down south. Hello, Brian.
Hey, the guy that was on there earlier, he made this argument about him and others being forced to pay for something that the teachers were forcing them to pay for. I've heard that argument before. It's common online. Basically, they're saying that by virtue of them paying property taxes, paying teacher salary, that the teacher shouldn't be able to, you know, use their money to, you know, buy insurance somewhere else or make
right.
payments to a union or whatever. Well, by that logic, then, if I pay my tax dollars to Congress, shouldn't I say what kind of insurance they should be getting?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're cracking yourself up, Brian. All right. You know what? I wouldn't tune out now, Chris. You know why?
Why?
Because Jim Ward, as we speak, is scribbling down some gimitations.
No! Some gimprovisations?
Yes, for celebrity stack.
Wait a minute, you're not supposed to scribble down gimprovisations.
You still want to be a gimprovisation.
Okay.
Yes. And the delightful Edie McClurg from Mondays with McClurg next.
I have to move.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on.
6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy President's Day. But mostly
sounds like
Monday.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg. Monday,
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
What a, we had Mondays with Matthews in hour number one. Chris Matthews is one, and now Edie McClurg. What, I mean, our, can our life get any better?
I love Chris Matthews.
My special's on tonight. Bill Clinton, president of the world. Fair enough. You're like a one-man Peace Corps. I know the entire promo. I've seen it. Like, oh my, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I'm getting another tingle on my leg.
I'm an elderly shut-in in cable news geek, as you know. So this is like a Christmas for me. It's the Bill Clinton press special. It's a popcorn thing. It's popcorn time for Democrats. I love Chris Matthews. Anyway, if you missed the interview, go to stephaniemiller.com. He was hilarious. You can. It'll be posted up there after the show. Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Don't you look lovely this morning?
Thank you. I'm a colorful person today, and it is a kind of a holiday.
Yes.
But
it is.
It's sad about Wisconsin and all of the states to follow behind, I'm afraid.
I know. Patrick in Madison writes, the Madison paper printed a quote from one police officer saying the protesters left the Capitol grounds cleaner than when they found it, including scraping up garbage that had been covered by snow.
Raffles. You know,
Wisconsinites
are very clean.
Apparently.
There's a lot of Germans there.
Highlight of the rally, passing Joe the plumber on the street, he had one camera following him and a please someone notice me look on his face. Thank you, Patrick. Dan in Madison on the funniest pin at the rally. Hi, Dan.
I bought it yesterday after the symphony concert. We were leaving the stage from the Madison Symphony Orchestra, and I bought it from one of our union double bass players. It's the greatest pin I've ever purchased in my life. More cowbell, less Scott Walker.
That's the only thing the rally needs, Jim.
A cowbell. I got a fever.
I got a fever and no health care. Thanks, Scott Walker.
It's no health care. And more cowbell.
Oh, and someone sent me the best sign, Jim. I don't know if you heard in hour one. It says, Scott Louise Walker, stop being such a douche nozzle. And Mama got a lot of shout-outs for the, yes.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, Edie, these are for you. Fox News presents the do's and don'ts of sexting that we were just talking about before the break. I don't know if you're a frequent sexter or not.
I've never sexted.
Somehow I knew that about you. You're too polite.
Well, I did 12 years in Catholic school.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'd burn in hell forever if I sexted even once, I'm sure.
Yeah, I must not do it enough because I don't. Here, apparently, are a few of the more common sexting acronyms.
Oh, just dear, I don't even know what any of those are.
GIPO is get your pants off.
GIPO? Get.
I-A-Y-M, I am your master. Oh, okay, all right.
Chris, write that one down.
IWSN, I want sex now. KY4, kiss for you. Oh,
I thought it was jelly.
Something. Yeah, me too. Yeah, we're seeing your dirty little Catholic
girl like
me. I like
that jelly on my toast.
That was like a Valentine's candy. Kiss for you. Whatever. LMIRL, let's meet in real life. MOOS, moves, member of the opposite sex. Or if you're from farm country, it could mean something else. MOSS, member of the same sex. NALICOVISIVIS, not a lot of people know that. Okay. TDTM, talk dirty to me. WIN, want it now.
Gee, many Christmas.
Just so you know, in case you, it's never, you're never too old to start texting, just in case you start sexting now.
Yeah, but it's just the print is too tiny for my old eyes. I'd probably say push the cart before the horse or something.
You could
like
wildly
that.
Misinterpret something that you didn't read correctly.
Absolutely. What? And you'd show up, you know, in your little moo cow outfit, and somebody would say, no, that's not what I was talking about.
Chris, you remember it took me a while to even get the idea of texting, so I think I did send things like misspell. I was like, what did I say? Oh, no. I want to, what? No, I didn't mean that. All right, I'm not done. There's some dangers. We also have the dangers of sexting. Here are a few ways to say stay safe. Number one, delete, delete, delete.
Yes, you bet.
I remember one time, Jim, I was actually hiking and there was a thunderstorm. And
that seems unwise.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, is if I get struck by lightning now, they're going to find my cell phone and go, what a whore. Who the hell was she talking to? You know what I mean? Okay, number two, don't surprise someone with a sex until you're sure he or she is into it.
Well, how can you tell?
Yeah.
The Pope probably not into it.
When the game is over, it's over, so don't push it. Yeah, you know, we've all gone a little bit too far. Okay, sorry, my bad.
Is holding your cell phone in a thunderstorm a good idea?
No, probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
It's a really great texting session, though. I didn't want to let go.
That withered left arm is really going to have telltale sign.
Number three, sexting can quickly go from fun to creepy if you keep it up for too long or escalate too quickly. Pace yourself and follow your partner's lead. Number five, send pictures at your own risk. Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Please, if you're masturbating, don't do it in Crocs and don't take a picture of it. For God's sake.
No one wanted to see Brett
Favre.
Don't,
or Uggs.
Don't do it in
don't
Uggs.
Do
yeah, I have
Uggs.
Never sent anyone a picture of me masturbating in my Uggs, just so you know.
Thank you.
All right. Edie McClurg, we have been talking.
I think my most common thing would be IDU. I don't understand.
I don't understand what you're saying.
At all.
But I think it's dirty.
Whenever someone uses a phrase, Chris has to show me a picture on the internet. I'm like, what? Oh. Okay, yeah, I've done that. I just didn't know what it was. Heidi in Madison. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Steph. I'm just lovely here today. I have cat hair all over. But I called in to read you a quote from Senator Chris Larson, who is camping out down there in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to take it right off the email so it won't be hearsay. But he says, just a couple words here, beyond stripping away rights, this bill will also give the governor the unchecked authority to make dramatic cuts to the state's safety net programs without public input from the public or the legislature. It even gives the governor the ability to sell off 36 state-owned power plants using no-bid contracts.
Oh, hey. Yeah, it's amazing. Zach and Madison on the bill as well. Hello, Zach. Oop, I lost Zach. Sorry. Let's go to Kathy in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I want to tell you that in the bill that they don't understand also that if anybody wants a raise, any state employee wants a raise, it has to be up for a referendum for everybody to vote on. And I think, boy, is that a lot of money. And then he also talks about it's supposed to give the lower municipalities the ability to negotiate or be able to meet the budget that he's going to cut. All he's doing is shifting it down the line for the local communities to lay off the teachers and to lay off the nurses and to lay off everybody so he can have his hands clean in the whole deal.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in this bill I think people don't realize. Jim, for instance, do you know that it puts Muammar Gaddafi in charge of the teachers union?
Really?
Right there? Uh-huh.
Cool.
Really tricky, some things in there that you just don't read the fine print. Hmm. Alan in Madison. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I don't know if you remember, I'm your official fifth grade teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Indeed.
Last time you were here in town, we met. I've been down here at Ground Zero now for 6 days.
Wow.
Did you give her detention when she was part of your...
I'm sure I deserved it.
She was so well-behaved. She was so well-behaved, I'll tell you. But, you know, I just wanted to let you know, we were here Saturday. We had about 70,000, as you know, union supporters, and there were about maybe stretching it about 2,000, maybe 2,200, you know, teabaggers.
The baggers,
so,
yeah.
I got a hold of their little schedule, and I noticed the rally for the teabaggers was supposed to go from noon to about 3:30, and by 1:15 it was already over. I mean, it was just done.
They had
so
petered out and slipped into a sugar coma.
They had nothing to say.
So I said, what happened here? I mean, I thought you guys were supposed to go for hours here. Well, you know, they lost their Palin. She was on her way, but Todd had a race, a snowmobile race, and I figured, let's see, protest in Madison, Todd, snowmobile race, Todd wins, you know.
Todd's got a snow machine race.
Oh, yeah, he's going out there, he's zipping around there with all the fellas, you know, and they get the masks over their face so their teeth don't freeze.
We will be doing another edition of Edie McClurg, Sarah Palin Masterpiece Theater, which has become wildly popular, where she just reads an actual Sarah Palin quote. A little slice of word salad. All right, let's go to Lisa in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lise.
Hi, Steph.
Stephanie, listen, you and Bill were on here on 105.5 for a while until we got a new governor, and then you mysteriously disappeared, and I have found you on my iPod, and I'm off today, and I'm a teacher in Northeast Florida.
Yep.
We recently ratified our contract. It was all a go, and the Tea Party showed up at the school board meeting, and then school board back down, and we don't have a contract. I hate to tell you about 95% of our teachers are Republicans, and they just don't get it.
Yep.
They keep voting Republicans,
you know,
and then they're upset.
Yep, I'm telling you, this is all politics. And speaking of which, our station you were talking about in Miami, we had great ratings, and they replaced us with a sports station that gets a third of the ratings that we had. So, you know, you tell me where the fairness in broadcasting is right now.
But that's exactly what was pointed out on the radio, that the ratings were so much higher. I miss you guys.
I listen
to Bill in the morning. My son in Afghanistan bought me an iPod Touch. I'm listening to you live feed on my day off, and
aww,
the sun on my back patio, and I am happy.
Oh, Lisa, I think the point of this
you
is all the podcasts, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. It's the greatest invention.
I will, as soon as I can afford it.
I had
to quit the union to buy gas.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. I don't care about your gas money or whatever.
Whatever.
Damn Stephcast. Just kidding. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. What a woman of exquisite taste in broadcasting.
And willing to sacrifice in order to hear you.
Indeed.
That's what I am very proud
indeed
of.
Indeed. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue with the showdown in Washington and Wisconsin, Celebrity Stack, complete with gymitations, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah! Oh, no, let's go! Let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. Look for the purpose of an energy. Let's go!
Come on! You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts! 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, you know what drove me nuts, Jim? Did you watch Donald Rumsfeld yesterday?
Oh,
my goodness
no,
gracious,
I did not.
Candy Crowley. Those are some
nice
indelicate
stars and garters.
That was an impolite question. That's about the WMD.
Why would you ask me that? Jiminy Christmas.
I love this part. He said he was, quote, deeply worried about the budget.
Yeah,
the country needs to start saving money now. Now a warning? After you blew billions on an unnecessary war?
Well, you go to war with the budget you have, not the one you wish you had.
He literally did use an old man phrase, Jim. He said, my goodness.
My goodness gracious.
Every year, the Congress was stuffing $10 million down the Pentagon's throat that we didn't want. But you took it, didn't you?
What? I'm the Secretary of Defense. What did I have to say about it? I didn't want that.
Okay. Oh,
holy
right
shnikes.
It is time for that magical moment when we play Edie McClurg, Sarah Palin, Masterpiece Theater. This is an actual recent Facebook quote?
Yeah, from yesterday.
Vote from yesterday. Sarah Palin, here we go. Go ahead, Edie.
I worked, or still work, in education. My own children attend public schools. I greatly admire good teachers and will always speak up in defense of the teaching profession. But Wisconsin teachers' unions do themselves no favor by closing down classrooms and abandoning children's needs in protest against the sort of belt-tightening that people everywhere are going through. Union brothers and sisters, this is the wrong time, the wrong fight. Solidarity doesn't mean making Wisconsin taxpayers pay for benefits that are not sustainable and affordable at a time when many of these taxpayers struggle to hold on to their own jobs and homes.
Okay, all right, I think I've had enough. Thank you. It goes on and on and on, doesn't it, Edie?
Oh, yammer, yammer, yammer.
Oh, okay. Star in Atlanta, more importantly, the movie Carrie played last night.
Oh, my
hello,
gosh.
Star.
I was naked.
Yes, Edie McClurg was naked on television last night.
I didn't even know it.
Hi, Star.
Hi, Stephanie. I love you guys.
Thank you.
But just felt the need to call since it seemed like such an odd coincidence we were talking about Edie McClurg and sex.
Yes. Yes, and there she was in all her naked glory in the shower scene in Carrie.
Well, what it was, you know, just a dull night at home with the boyfriend clicking through the channels. And I was just like, hey, is that Carrie? Is it just starting?
You'll be happy to know Edie McClurg fully clothed this morning.
That was it. I was just like, oh, I want
thank
to see
goodness.
Edie McClurg naked. Why did that get his attention? He's like, what?
See, well, this was before she was able to filch wardrobe clothes from that old Valerie series that got canceled. Hogan's Family.
Well, the thing is that it was my very first film
yes.
ever right. in my life. I had to sign a nudity clause.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, could this be any more wrong in life than me? Me? I have to sign a nudity clause? And the fact was, I was almost 31 years old playing a high school senior. And it was just like, you know, things are dropping already. So I'm with the towel. I'm with the, you know, oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious sake.
Tell
alive.
The story again with Brian De Palma, who was directing Carrie.
Yes.
And did you ask if you could say a line or so? Or you said a line, didn't you? Did you say plug it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So were you one of the tampon hurlers?
Yes, I was, and there were no lines. You know, it was just a couple of people had things to say. So he said, you know, really get down on her, get mean to her,
yes.
you know. So I started yelling, plug it up.
So you was that an improvisation?
And all the rest of them, they piled on. The rest
oh,
of them
dear. Just, so you were the head mean girl. You were too good at your job.
I was the head improviser because there was nobody else in the cast who were improvisers.
Wait, so you actually are the one that improvised plug it up? That's in the movie because of you.
Yes.
That is disgusting, Edie McClurg. You are no little Catholic girl, my friend.
I will go
you are
to
nasty,
hell and burn forever.
Nasty little girl.
With Carrie underneath the ground.
Oh. All right, Elva and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm on my way walking up to the Capitol. I've been here Tuesday, Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday. Spent the night Friday. I was here Saturday, Sunday. My husband spent the night last night. But what I wanted to say was the leader of the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Association, quote, regrets endorsing Walker.
Yep. I bet you a lot of people do. That's the quickest case of buyer's remorse yet. All right. The president on the budget, what's going on in Washington? We got showdowns going on in Wisconsin and Washington.
Be destabilizing friends. At a time when I think everybody is hopeful that we can start growing this economy quicker.
Yeah, Paul Ryan, I don't know, man. We may have a shutdown coming.
Look, we're not looking for a government shutdown.
Yeah, you are.
But at the same time, we're also not looking at rubber stamping these really high elevated spending levels that Congress blew through the joint 2 years ago.
That's what I'm hearing, Jim, is that they think the politics will play out differently this time. The Democrats
sure.
will get blamed.
Okay.
Because, you know, the deficit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, you go with that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's white wine, ice cubes, and Sprite. She calls it funky juice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't forget tomorrow, Charlie Pierce and right-wing tool Rich Galen, whom we love. Stephanie and Madison write, Steph, a very interesting conversation I had with a friend who lives in Wisconsin Saturday morning. We were talking about how we were both frightened there might be violence at Saturday's rally. I was referring to the fact this is going to be the first day that teabaggers were going to be there. The friend said, well, now that Jesse Jackson and the Muslim Brotherhood are coming from Chicago, I've decided not to take my children to the rally.
No.
I sure wish Wisconsin had a concealed carry law. I
Yikes.
Said, what the hell is this crap about the Muslim Brotherhood? Did the fine reverend fly them in from Egypt to Chicago so they could carpool up the Eden's Expressway to Wisconsin? I frantically searched the interwebs and found her information source to be the one and only Rush Limbaugh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure Glenn Beck will explain how that's part of the caliphate tonight. I look forward to that.
Oh, yes.
Edie McClurg.
It's right here on my chalkboard.
Yes. Edie McClurg has some positive breaking news.
Some positive early developments out of Madison. According to Chris Bowers at the Daily Kos, the Republican-controlled state Senate rescinded their vote to move to final passage on Governor Walker's union bust. This puts the bill back in play and amendable.
Yahoo! Ooh. Yahoo! Power to the people. Rebecca in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to let people know who are out of state and want to support the protesters that there is a way they can help to feed them. There are two local businesses. One is a Willie Street Co-op that will deliver healthy food to the protesters. The number is 608-251-6776. And also Ian's Pizza is a local pizza, really good pizza place.
Yeah.
608-257-9248. They can have it delivered to room 300 Northeast, charge it to their credit card.
Listen, you guys are getting so much support, you're going to leave there probably like 20 pounds heavier than when you got there.
We don't care.
All right.
I was in the Capitol yesterday, and it's just a real rush to see a big stack of pizza boxes coming in, and
yeah,
we know that's a
hopefully
support coming to us. So
hopefully we'll be able to see, be able to kill the bill, and then we'll say, stop eating, you fat bastards. Go home, for God's sakes. Go home.
We're just getting used to the free pizza.
Adam in Montana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Adam.
Konnichiwa, minasan. Hello.
Hello.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Hi. I'm sorry, I'm a Japanese student.
Hi.
I'm just calling to say that as a native of Illinois, your brothers and sisters in Illinois support you, Wisconsin. Don't give in. Don't give up. You've already won by standing up to this bully. And second of all, I'd like to remind the Wisconsin National Guard that you not only have an obligation to ignore illegal orders, you are required to do so under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That includes turning against people who are just asking for their First Amendment rights.
Yep. Hi. So, arigato.
And I would just like to also say it's an honor to be able to talk to you, especially Ms. McClurg. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
I loved you in Secret of NIMH. I know it was a bit part, but that movie was my favorite movie as a child. So
it's a very important movie, yeah.
There are no small parts, right?
There are only small actors.
Exactly.
Well, I was playing a crow.
I played a crow. Karen in Madison. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hello.
Stephanie, Edie, Jim, Chris. I did listen to your reading of Ezra Klein's analysis this morning, and thank you for reading that.
Yes.
I wanted to add one important point to his analysis, and that seems to be being swept under the rug, and that is the direct consequence of the colossal national debt that the last three Republican administrations, Reagan and the two Bushes, had left for our country. And that added up to be about $10 trillion, which was more than all the other administrations put together.
Yep.
This could be called the trickle-down financial mismanagement. And when one connects the dots with this factor in it, you have like the federal government going broke under the Republican administration.
Yeah, it's exactly
That impacts on the state.
Yeah, Karen, it's interesting right now. What's happening in Washington is mirroring what's happening in Wisconsin, and you're absolutely right. They caused these deficits largely, and now they're going to make the rest of us pay for their mistakes. I mean, these are the not so fun facts of what's happening in Washington. House Republicans' $1.2 trillion bill for financing federal programs through September 30th, blah, 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 includes many spending cuts that will make a showdown with President Obama and the Democrats almost inevitable. I almost would think they're trying to get the government to shut down by making this so untenable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet they are.
Here's what they have in store for you after they ran up the deficit with tax cuts for the rich and unnecessary wars.
Yeah.
Cut about $60 billion in spending from last year's levels in many domestic programs, including education, environmental protection, and community services. Block money to implement Obama's health care overhaul. Bar federal funds for Planned Parenthood. Eliminate federal family planning and teen pregnancy prevention grants. Block federal aid to overseas groups that provide abortion or counsel women about them. Cut the Social Security Administration. Prohibit the Environmental Protection Agency from imposing regulations curbing emissions of gases that cause global warming. Reduce Pell grants for lower-income college students. Cut food aid for poor pregnant women and women with children up to age 5. Eliminate federal money for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Halt financing for the AmeriCorps National Service Program. Limit this year's budget for the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to $80 million. Prevent the administration from enforcing a proposed rule, making it harder for students at for-profit colleges to get federal loans and grants.
And the reason they think they can get away with it now is because in 1994, Fox News wasn't what it is now, which is this giant propaganda machine for the right wing. And they think they can make it stick on the Democrats.
Lindsey Graham, here you go.
The only way we'll shut the government down if it's our Democratic colleagues insist on keeping the federal government
large and unsustainable.
Yeah, sure, that's it.
Yeah.
Representative Steve Sutherland, Republican, Florida.
You know, I hear the word meat axe and draconian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's draconian and meat axe is leaving every American in this country with $43,000 of national debt.
Mm. Funny, when
he doesn't really
George
have a
Bush
way with words.
Came into office, we had a giant surplus.
Yes, we did.
And in his State of the Union address, he said, "We got the surplus, means you're paying too much tax. So we got to get rid of that dang surplus."
Yes.
And he did.
Mission accomplished.
Yep.
Tim somebody, Republican of Kansas.
The massive debt burden on our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren cannot be afforded.
Mm.
It's not going to be afforded.
Now somebody's thinking of the children.
We can't afford it. It's too expensive. And by the way, we have to fight the homosexual agenda. It's really irking me.
Oh, dear.
Senator Dick Durbin.
The starting point is that we know we need to cut spending. We know we need to live within our means.
Yeah. Okay. Chuck, once again, they're willing to negotiate in Washington, but I'm telling you, whether it's Scott Walker or these other teabaggers in Washington, they're not looking to negotiate at all. Chuck Schumer.
The way it's always been done, the way to do this like adults, is not to say it's my way or no way. That's what Newt Gingrich did with lots of severe consequences, but rather sit down and negotiate.
Yeah, frankly. Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat, Missouri.
Are we going to take a weed whacker to education funds in this country while we let millionaires continue to deduct interest on their second home?
In Wisconsin, they're taking a weed walker to the teacher. He's a weed walker. Representative Norm Dix of Washington.
This is a meat axe approach on top of a meat axe approach.
Don't make a joke about the Harry Balls building and the new Democratic Senator Norm Dix. I don't think he should be talking about taking a meat axe to anything is all I'm saying. Jackie Speer of California.
I had a procedure at 17 weeks. I lost a baby. But for you to stand on this floor and to suggest, as you have, that somehow this is a procedure that is either welcomed or done cavalierly or done without any thought is preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, that was powerful if you saw that. It really, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they really are using everything that's going on now, budget, to accomplish their ideological goals. That is to make abortion illegal, ultimately, and that is to bust unions forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly when they're using all of this budget hysteria. Oh, we have to cut. Oh, is it abortion stuff? Oops, we hardly noticed that.
Well, there are two more states have joined the ranks of those attempting to ban abortion after 22 weeks under the guise of saving a fetus once it can feel pain, Kansas and Florida. They are following Nebraska's lead in enacting a law to restrict abortions.
Yeah. Erin and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I was just calling because I work for the state. I'm in Madison, and I just found it very odd that since Walker has been in office, all of my union emails that I used to get at work now go to my junk mail.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'm sure that's odd. I'm sure that's just a quirk of your system. Maybe you should reboot. Ernie in Tucson. Hi, Ernie.
Hey, I was looking for the Plug It Up scene from Carrie on YouTube, and I found that the Plug It Up scene, the whole shower scene, is now a musical number in Carrie the Musical.
Oh my God. You've spawned
a
musical.
Yeah, well, and the sound of the girl who sings Plug It Up sounds a little like Edie. What have you been doing?
Are you getting any residuals from that?
Not a thing.
Plug It Up, the song. I mean, come on.
Wow.
She wrote that. Dana in Hawaii.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Dana. I love your show and all the guys. And hi, Edie.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment or just even ask a question to, because I know you guys know it all.
Yes, we do. Indeed, we do.
What is with the tea baggers? I know they went to Madison, but they were brought there by Dick Armey to protest all of this, the busting of the union and to support Governor Walker. But I thought the Tea Party was supposed to be less government, less basically regulation, taxes, all that stuff. And the people that are there protesting and fighting for their union rights and their right to bargain, they're fighting against them. That's what I don't get.
Yeah. There's nothing to get except pure, unadulterated politics. That's it. Union busting. That's all it's about. 45 minutes after the hour. All right. Back with the celebrity stacking, complete with Jimprovisations and Jimitations. And
oh, goody.
Lions and tigers and bears. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We continue with the delightful Mondays with Edie McClurg. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Scott and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's Scott Madison, your favorite reporter.
Yes.
So I have been covering these protests literally since they started last week. And the idea that there's any real grassroots opposition to these protests supporting Governor Walker is just a fallacy. There were maybe 1,500 protesters out there on Saturday. And the real reason Sarah Palin didn't show up, what we're hearing here on the ground, is that there just weren't enough people for her to be
bought and paid for by the Koch brothers, provably so, sent by, you know, bussed in by Tea Party groups. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they were in and out within an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, all the reporters up on the cutaways were just blown away at how few people actually were from Wisconsin and how quickly they skedaddled out.
Yeah, and as usual, they're trying to peddle the opposite lie in the right wing media that it was all the union support. They're all bussed in from out of state by unions. None of these people in the Capitol are from Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, we're from Wisconsin. They're packing it. Honestly, the rotunda every day, every night.
I know. Thank you, honey. All right. Great job to my friend Ed Schultz. He just right. I mean, right man, right issue, right time. Mm-hmm. He's just doing it. He's just hitting it out of the park. I sexted him over the weekend.
Ooh.
I did.
Sure,
it was just
Wendy's
a love text. Wendy got it instead.
You're fired.
I hate her. No, it was, I just was a love text. He was awesome. All right. Little celebrity stack by the queen. Look, what the hell, Edie? She invited 1,900 guests. Was she drunk when she did this? She invited 1,900 guests to the wedding in Westminster Abbey of her grandson, Prince William, and Kate Middleton. Yes.
Yes, we have invited nearly 2,000 guests to William and Kate's wedding, including several former paramours from every continent. Yes, including Antarctica, thank you for asking. One has not lived until one has braved the elements whilst cavorting in the manner of rabid weasels in a sub-zero sleeping bag with a Studley Polar Explorer. We still, to this day, have whisker burns from our hirsute not-so-gentlemanly corner. We dare not mention where, but you would be correct in presuming they would be south of the equator. And yes, we were delightfully amused.
Oh, I miss that skink biscuit. Oh, dear.
I don't know how I came up with that.
I don't either. Just a total whore.
Oh, wow.
All right. You know, boy, with all this going on in Wisconsin right now, Edie, and, you know, these poor teachers and this is the deal we made with them. When we said, okay, we're going to pay you less, but down the line you're going to get this. So now we're reneging on that, essentially. And this headline this morning, the Kardashians made $65 million last year.
Oh, wow. I'm going to be sick.
I think I'm going to burst.
Yeah.
Well, oh.
And they got to pay for school supplies in Wisconsin. And, yeah, Kardashians made.
Bring your own pencil.
Bring
your own lunch.
Kardashians,
I guess. Before supper time.
Thanks again, OJ, for everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Kardashian spinning in his grave.
Bobby.
Yeah, boy. Billy Ray Cyrus regrets becoming a friend to his children. Yeah, he's a little chummy with his daughter. I have a lot of people said you should really need to be a parent. Yeah, not so much a chum.
I did a stint 1 week on that show, Hannah Montana. Yes,
really?
I did. Michael Boatman and I were like servo mechanisms to the plot, and we both just kept looking at each other like, oh, my God, did we really do this? and at one point, it was 105 degrees, and we were shooting over at KTLA. And I came in from lunch, and I was standing next to Billy Ray, and I said, boy, do you think this is the end days? And he said, yes, I do.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You're like, I was just kidding. It was a heat joke.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes, I do.
Glenn Close is going to play Susan Boyle in the biopic.
Wow, that's odd casting.
Glenn
she dreamed a dream to play Susan Boyle. Is playing the, you know, I dreamed a dream, the singer. The
yeah,
princess.
But is she going to put on the proper eyebrows. Amount of weight and eyebrows and et cetera?
Is she going to put on the eyebrows? Sure. Why not? I don't know. Ozzy Osbourne, well, this is quite a shock. Ozzy Osbourne still feels the effects of drug abuse. He said he experiences the wobblers brought on by LSD. He said LSD is a great time until it isn't. One minute you're running down Miami Beach with a foam finger on your head, and the next you're sticking a gun in your best friend's face. I still get the after effects of LSD. I call them the wobblers. In a flash, every little problem freaks me out and becomes the end of the world.
Yeah, this might come as a shock to you. I have dabbled in illegal substances over the years.
Really?
I know you're stunned, man. But not as stunned as I am when I have me wobblies. Well, just the other day, I woke up and thought I was locked in Mortal Kombat with a giant squid. I saw one of those suckers, you know, and his tentacles right in front of me, man. Turned out, I'd fallen asleep with a dog on my face. I promise you, I did. I was staring right at this bunghole. So I have to put you off for breakfast, man.
Ozzy.
I can see him
staring
doing
at a dog's bunghole. Yeah.
Not intentionally.
No. Oh. It just happens sometimes. Okay.
In his life, possibly.
In the wake of our Edie McClurg, Sarah Palin Masterpiece Theater we did earlier, a manuscript of a tell-all about Sarah Palin has been leaked. It's a book by Frank Bailey, Blind Allegiance to Sarah Palin, a memoir of our tumultuous years, has been leaked. In the book, he gives a rather unflattering view inside the former governor's rise to fame. He says Palin emailed him, "I hate this damn job," days before she quit in July 2009. The book goes on to describe her staff targeting political opponents for personal retribution through a variety of public channels. He said, "We set our sights and went after opponents and coordinated attacks utilizing what we called Fox News surrogates."
Huh.
Bailey says he regretted his action on Palin's behalf, describing them as contrary to the Christian principles in which he believed.
Well, better late than
never. Never coming to the light.
Yeah. You took the money, didn't you, guy?
Oh, I can give you a preview of tonight's What the Fox. President Obama coached his daughter's Sasha's basketball game on Saturday, even though she wasn't there to play. Today, today the president helped coach Sasha's basketball team, filling in for the regular parent coach. Where was Sasha? Hitting the slopes. Michelle Obama and the first daughters are on a private family trip to Colorado, which will be 24/7, won't it?
Right.
On Fox News.
Yeah. Elitists.
Yeah.
Those elitist socialists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Skiing and all right.
Whatever.
Coaching basketball teams. Socialist basketball team.
Oh, boy.
Well, the Packers won the Super Bowl, so maybe.
Representative Chris Murphy drew attention when he jokingly admitted on Twitter to having Bieber fever after reading his criticism of the U.S. healthcare system. Shortly afterward, though, chagrin Murphy was back on Twitter after learning that Bieber opposes abortion. Bieber fever cured, he wrote. Time to be quiet again, Justin. All right, guess where they're leaving faster than Sarah Palin's staff? Michelle Bachmann's staff.
Oh,
guess people don't really like to work with Bat as much. She's losing two key staffers from her political organization, the latest in a long line of aides who have departed as her office has had an extremely high turnover rate. Wonder why. Weird. Edie McClurg.
Doors banging together.
Edie McClurg, you've been delightful as always. Don't forget, Charlie Pierce and Rich Galen tomorrow. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.